Right, well, today is an anniversary, well, this week, I'm not sure if it's actually today, but 60 years ago, Albert Einstein, passed on, died, went to heaven. I wonder what he discovered when he went through the other side. Was he an atheist? Be interesting to discuss those matters as well. But here to talk about Einstein and the heritage, the legacy that he left us, is Dr. Nick Lister, who's, I hope I got this title right, Nick, Principal of Lawrence House Astronomy and Space Centre at Rossall School. Is that right?
That sounds good to me, sir. Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning. So Rossall School has its own space centre.
It's a space and science centre, yeah. It's we always have to try and get in, but it's pretty well unique in the UK in that all it does is teach, and all it teaches is astronomy and space-related stuff. So,
you're not planning to put a fourth former into orbit?
I wouldn't have thought so just yet. Maybe in a few years' time, who knows?
What a great place. Those people come from all over the place to
they
talk
do
about...
indeed, sir.
Did you see that recently they've... have the Hubble opened up some special photographs or chances to look deep into space?
Yeah, absolutely. It's a wonderful thing what the Hubble telescope's done for 20-odd years now. It just keeps renewing new chapters of itself. They're sort of threatening to close it down every 5 years, and they give it another go. It's great fun. Mm. And the images, like you said, that it reveals every month, really, are just superb from deep space. Wonderful stuff.
Sure. Wouldn't Einstein have loved to have looked at those pictures himself?
What a fantastic thing to say. It really, when you actually even say things like that, it actually makes the hairs on the back of my neck stand up, because he would have been so immensely impressed.
Yeah. He died 60 years ago, I think, this week, wasn't it?
Yes, and he's left himself quite a legacy, hasn't he? He really has.
No, I was just going to go. You carry on, Nick.
I often say to people, you know, when we talk about the great legacies of great scientists, and if you go back many centuries, and you talk about the old Greek philosophers, people like Archimedes that people have heard about and stuff like that, and they did wonderful things because they didn't have instruments available to them, scientific instruments, and neither did people like Isaac Newton. He did fantastic things. But I always say that I think Einstein really took the biscuit, because even though he was a so-called more or less modern scientist with equipment available to him, etc., I think the things that he did really just, supersede anything that anybody's ever done before. I think he was the best, personally.
What did he do that was so... the major thing that was so very special, Nick, to people who are listening who have an interest in these things but have no academic training in it, but because it relates to everything, doesn't it?
It does, yeah. He actually changed the way, to be honest, that we look at space and even the way we look at time. Mm. And he was one of the first people to really start talking and thinking about light and how light behaves, etc. And at the end of the day, to be honest with you, all his theories, he came up with these ideas that we have a very stretchy and a very bendy space, and that, you know, we look out into space and we see things from many, many years ago. We see stars the way they were many, many years ago in time, etc., etc. And he was the first person to really start talking us through the way that light behaves. And, of course, everybody must have heard of his amazing famous equation, E equals mc squared, which is often talked about and, of course, used on logos all over the world, etc.
Is E energy in that?
Energy, and then the M is matter or stuff, atoms, you know, anything that's made of stuff, atoms, molecules, etc. And the C, the magic C, is the speed of light. So the speed of light squared is a very, very big number. It's the speed of light times the speed of light. And light, if you want it in old figures, as I tend to still work in old figures, light travels at 186,000 miles every second. And if you want to put that into context, that's about, say, 7 times round the Earth every second. That's how fast light travels.
It's quick.
It's very quick, but it does have a definite speed. That's the point. It's not instant, which is what people might have assumed, say, 150 years ago or so.
So people thought light was instant. They didn't realise that it took time.
It took a while for somebody to think of a way of measuring the speed of light, and they found that it did actually have a finite speed. So, it's very, very quick.
Yeah, so but if we take that then from Big Bang, which we think of starting at one fixed point, and then everything emanating out from that, then light is still going out from that into whatever the outer darkness is.
Yeah, you could look at it that way. You can look at it exactly that way. You can actually reverse that as well and say that we look back into time. We see objects out in deep space that are, say, astronomers say they're, say, 12,000 million light years away, and that means that we see those things at that age, 12,000 million years ago.
But what's beyond that, Nick?
Now we're getting going, aren't we? Well, if you go backwards, there is this point in time, as you've suggested, yeah. that everything was created at this moment, the Big Bang. And yeah. when people say, first of all, they say, well, what was before that?
Yeah.
The point is, and this does relate to Einstein stuff, really, the point is that there wasn't anything before that because everything started at the Big Bang, including time. So the word before is a bit of an irrelevance, if you think of it that way.
Yeah, because, but what was before it? So it sounds like one of your intractable.
All right, then let's think. So there are ideas. Yeah. There is a current idea regarding the cosmology thing about yeah. the way the universe was and is and will be. There is an idea currently which says that, well, maybe the universe is kind of cyclical, and that we've had a few universes before ours. And maybe we'll have universes after ours. And so perhaps there could have been a universe before ours.
And
yeah.
isn't there a theory, because I've got a nephew who's an astrophysicist,
yeah.
that is, he can't tie up his own shoelaces, I hasten to add, but
that's about right.
He's a scruffy sap. Anyway, he's a good lad, but he got a 2-1 in Manchester, astrophysics, Alistair.
Good on him.
Anyway, he was telling me about bubble universes. There could be thousands of universes.
Infinite number of universes.
And we're all sort of bubbling around. And there could be 17, 26 dimensions.
Is it not even up to 33, I think I once heard as well? I think.
But how can there be another dimension apart from space, time, length and depth?
That is a very, very good question.
How can we grasp this with our feeble brains?
We can't. You know, what you've just said there is perfect. And the reason is because I think we can just about grab four dimensions. If we say, talk of the usual 3D, up, yeah. down, you know, sideways, front, backwards.
And then times the fourth dimension.
Yes, and then times the fourth. And that's the thing that Einstein did discuss a lot.
Yeah.
But all these others, I think, to be honest with you, it's all very well talking about, and they are very interesting and very sort of brain-bending to discuss, but I think there's a select few people in the world who really, really pretend to understand them, people like the current Astronomer Royal or Martin Rees, people like that, or even maybe people like Stephen Hawking that, you know, people know
about.
Pretend
to understand.
Yeah, they sort of pretend to understand. And I always say to people, when we talk about astronomy at the centre, obviously, you know, I always say to people, it's all very well, but I think I try to stick with the four-dimensional stuff because yeah. it's the stuff that we, as people,
sure.
can actually, if you see, grasp, get our hands on, see in the universe around us. We're there. It's touchable, if you like. Whereas all these other dimensions, it's something as human beings we'd never actually experience. So they may well be there, but we could never experience them. Do you see what I mean?
No.
No.
Yes, I do. Well, yes, I do, and I don't.
Yeah.
I'm reminded of that other book that nobody's read, Stephen Hawking's Brief History of Time.
Oh, what an ace book. Yeah, I've attempted it many times, and I tend to get a third of the way
really?
Through.
Really? And you're a PhD?
I'm just so chuffed with myself for getting a third of the way through. But do you know what's ironic? I get to the same page every time, and then that's it. My brain just folds. It hurts.
Wow.
It actually does physically
really?
Hurt.
And so Stephen Hawking can go on further?
Yes, he can go further, and he does go on further. He's a great chap, I'll be honest with you.
What I do when I'm stumped with a book like that is go to the back and read the last bit.
Right.
And it's actually quite moving, the last bit. He says, Stephen Hawking, to go further, for if we were to go any further, that would be to know the mind of God.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, I remember that now. That's right. Yeah, spot on. Yeah, I mean, something actually Einstein used to do, all sorts of quotes, you know, about God, and you know, there was a famous quote from him, I believe it was from Einstein, saying God doesn't play dice, which was to do with the idea of chance,
yes.
And probability, etc. Of course, he said a lot of great things, did Einstein, but his relativity theories were the one that everybody knows and talks about or mentions.
You see, Nick, I have this ongoing fascination, and I hope I'm not boring my listeners to death, but my personal thing about as we get older in life, we ask those questions, you know, what is the, you know, Monty Python, what is the meaning of life, is it 42, and you know, like the Hitchhiker's Guide, but we are interested in who we are in this universe and where we go, and these little creatures that cling to this rock called human beings.
Yeah.
And it seems as to, you know, there's the scientists say, oh, there is no God, it's all part of a great, you know, this is science, and then people who believe in God and the human spirit and the permanence of the human spirit.
And there's the in-between, isn't there? We're yet to be convinced either way.
Well, my point is that if we try and grasp with the concept of 33 balloon universes, all, you know, carrying on before and after, and string theory, and what happens in a black hole, which we cannot even begin to grasp, then to me, the concept of the permanence of the human spirit isn't that hard a thing to grasp. You know, isn't that unlikely?
Of compared to what you've just said, yeah, I would agree with you. Mm. Yeah, very much, compared to what you've just said. Very philosophical argument.
We're getting very deep here, aren't we?
Yeah, we are getting very deep. But it's interesting to talk. I mean, a lot of astronomers, well, I say a lot, but astronomers in the past, say in the last 20 years, there's been a fair few eminent cosmologists and astronomers, etc., who have become religious and, if you like, have turned to God in the way of sort of trying to find out more information. That, well, you mentioned the Big Bang earlier on, and of course there's for a few years there's been this enigmatic idea of a so-called God particle, which is the thing that actually
is
said,
that the
Higgs boson, obviously is to do with the Hadron Collider in Switzerland. It's one of the things they're trying to prove the presence of, because the idea is if they've got all these theories about the universe and going right back to the Big Bang, a lot of which do seem to fit and a lot of which is involved with the work that Einstein did as well. A lot of these theories do seem to fit, but one thing that was always a bit tricky was how did the universe actually start? If you like, how did the bang bang? Who flicked the switch? Yeah, you know, and so there was presumably some sort of particle right there at the very, 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 very beginning that created everything, i.e. the God particle. The problem is that physicists are trying to think of a way, therefore, that this, if you like, this God particle, this first particle, could suddenly come into existence out of nothing, flick into existence out of nothing, if you like. Well, the thing about the Higgs particles that you were mentioning, and so-called virtual particles, the idea is that these particles
do
flick in and out of existence millions of times a second. Yeah, exactly right. So this so-called God particle, there are links there. There are big links, if you like, between religion and what you would call pure science.
In the beginning was the word.
Exactly right.
Well, Nick, we didn't quite go down the path I was thinking that was going to go, but in a way it's all related. And,
of course it is.
Because it's relativity.
Absolutely.
Well, it is utterly fascinating talking to you. Will you come in again sometime and talk about the mysteries of the universe?
I would love to. I will always be there. I think we're coming in. I think maybe we'll be on Gilly's programme again this Friday coming up.
Well, if you explain Gilly to me, you're a better man than I am.
We'll have a bash.
Good lad. Dr. Nick, thank you ever so much, and all the best to everyone there at the Lawrence House Astronomy and Space Centre at Ross Hall School. Have a great holiday. Cheers, Nick. There we are. He's on his way, relatively speaking, of course. This morning we're talking about the great mind of Albert Einstein himself, and in particular his theory of relativity. Well, the best thing to do when you don't know something is ask a child. And I have with me on the line now our roving reporter, the extremely youthful Rajiv Gupta, who's in Rossendale.
I'm in Rossendale, yes.
An experiment on the way, Rajiv. Good morning to you. Who are you with?
Good morning, Ted. Yes, I'm in a car park of the St. Veronica's Church in Helmshaw, and I'm with someone that could help us figure out the theory of relativity once and for all. Someone that's going to simplify it to its bare bones and make us all understand it, because I don't. I studied some sciences and it still doesn't make sense to me. Ted, I'm with Claire Holt, who owns Flashbang Science. And Claire, what is Flashbang Science all about?
Flashbang Science is a mobile science laboratory for primary school children, and it's the whole aim is to give them that wow, the excitement and the energy of science.
And you're going to do that for us with the theory of relativity. And first of all, let's tackle Albert Einstein. How important is Albert Einstein to young children like the school children we have with us today?
The importance of Albert Einstein goes way above their heads, it's probably fair to say, because they just can't get their heads around the theory. They can't get their heads around what a theory is, never mind what the theory of relativity is. But what we try to do is give them the practicalities of it and show them so they can see and feel it, and then they can take that back in and understand the importance for the solar system, how that works, for how nuclear energy and all of that.
Well, we're gonna do a science experiment in a minute for you, Ted, just to try and break it down. But I will have a chat with some of the children here.
I've got you go.
What's your name?
Alfie.
Alfie, and how old are you, Alfie?
7.
So you're just 7 years old, Alfie. So have you ever heard of Albert Einstein?
I've heard his name.
But you're not quite sure what it is he did?
No.
Okay, and we've got Kira here, and Kira, you're older, you're a year 9 student, so what does Albert Einstein mean to you?
I know what he did, but I don't quite understand it. I know he did the relativity idea, but I don't quite get what it is.
Right, so you're like me, Kira. We both don't understand. Now, Claire, we're gonna do an experiment. Now, in front of me, Ted, I've got like a bed sheet.
Well, before we do this with the bed sheet, could Claire... Morning, Claire.
Good morning, Ted.
The theory of relativity. It's to do with space, matter, time. Tell us, go on. Try and sum it up for us in those couple of sentences.
Wow. For me, it's the whole word of relativity. If people can get that impression of relativity, then you're halfway there. I think it's above and beyond most people's heads, other than Stephen Hawking's myself.
Isn't it to do, though, with the faster you move, the more time slows down? So if you went out in a rocket, if you went in a high-speed rocket, or just below the speed of light, for 5 years, when you came back, you wouldn't have aged very much, but people on Earth would have done.
Yeah, I suppose you can look at it like that. There's the time dilation thing and the length extraction and stuff like that. But my basis is with primary school children. And one wonderful thing that I describe that they can get their heads around is, you know, those travelling escalators in the airports?
Yeah.
And somebody stands on it, and somebody's standing to the side, not moving anywhere.
Right.
And that speed is relative. So that's, you know, if you think that escalator's travelling at 3 miles an hour,
sure.
And somebody on it starts moving at 3 miles an hour, they're actually going past that person at 6 miles an hour. And it's just that relativity of time and space and motion.
Okay.
The one that we're going to do today, just here...
Away you go, then, yeah.
...is more the general theory. You know, he had a special theory, which is the E equals MC squared. But the general theory, which is how mass and gravity relate to each other, and how he sort of blew Newton's theory a little bit out of the water.
Right, well, we'll do this experiment. We've got a bed sheet in front of us, Ted.
Right.
And it's got lines drawn on it, so it's like a graph.
So it's a space-time grid, yeah?
Space-time grid is what I'm going to... is what I meant. And we've got a football here, a nice bright orange football, and we've got a balloon and an orange. So, and with the three props, we're going to explain Einstein's theory. So what are you going to do first?
So I'm going to put the football, which has got a mass of it, and I'm going to put that into the bed sheet, Ted. This is really good radio, isn't it?
Is the bed sheet being held up by the children?
The four corners, absolutely.
Right. So presumably the ball's formed a little pit, so it's sunk down in the middle.
Yes.
Of the sheet, we got that right.
Yeah, so that football has formed its own well in there now. And if I put something light, like a marble, around that and flicked it round, and it will actually move relative to the football. So it moves right into it.
Yes.
So it's the masses are relative to each other. So you can see that, guys, can't you?
Mm.
Yeah? So now if I take, amazingly, an orange, which has got a larger mass, but even though it's smaller...
than the marble?
It forms its own well. So relative to the football, it's not. It's because it's got its own mass, it's pulling its own gravitational force with it, it's not going towards it.
Get dragged in towards the football.
No, it doesn't,
but
not
the
at all.
The marble does.
The marbles do because of the weight, the mass is slightly less. And if I fling another marble through it, it'll actually go towards one or the other of these.
Oh, wow, that is amazing.
Yeah. So the last prop I have, because I know we're short of time, is a balloon full of water, which Alfie's going to enjoy later after this experiment, aren't you? Which is exactly the same size as the football.
Right. But heavier.
But heavier, yes, definitely. And it forms its own well all by itself. And even to the point where the football would maybe move to it, except the marbles are blocking it at the moment. And so everything, again, just a basic principle of relativity for these children.
Oh, the football's moved. Finally, there it does.
So the greater the mass, not just the size of the object, the greater the mass, the more it affects space around it and gravity.
Exactly. And that's what keeps us all on the Earth, you know, in terms of the mass of us, and also what how the moon pulls the tides.
Yes.
In terms of the sea. So, and children can get their heads around that, whereas if you get into the E equals MC squared, it's a little bit...
Well, never mind that. What did Alfie think, and what's he going to do with that balloon?
Alfie, you're with us. Did that make more sense to you?
Yes.
And what are you going to do with that balloon afterwards?
Throw at Jack.
Go on, then.
Jack's here, the other side of it, and he looks like he's trying to make a run for it already.
Well, there we are. The theory of relativity explained by flashbang science. Claire, where, do you go all around the country? Can people book you to come and try experiments and look at science in an interesting way?
We're concentrating on Lancashire, actually, Ted,
right.
Because of the tremendous history in the Lancashire industry. And so what we want to do is bring real science back to children. In effect, and we bring this mobile app to schools, and they come in and put on their lab coats and become practicing scientists by themselves.
Do they get
for an hour?
Do they get to make some explosions? Do they get to make some explosions?
I can't.
Some explosions?
Any explosions?
Oh, we do a lot of explosions, controlled explosions, Ted, and they absolutely love that. The idea is that these children go out of the lab, go back into their classrooms completely excited. I love children when they ask questions. And, you know, if anything is learned from Einstein, it's all of those questions he asked. You know, why is this? Why was Newton saying about gravity and what if? And if children ask those questions, going back into life, we have a future generation of scientists and engineers to come, I hope.
Wonderful. Well, Claire, thank you very much indeed. Rajiv, how many children have we got there?
Well, we've got about 5 children with us today. And as you were talking about explosions, Alfie had a very cheeky glint in his eye. And I'm going to make a run as well because he looks like he might try and chuck that water balloon at me.
All right, we'll find out the theory of relativity with Rajiv, whether he can outpace the power of the balloon hurtled by Alfie. equals MC squared. If you understood any of that, ring 01254 583 583 and tell me about it. But that's very nice. Thanks very much indeed, Rajiv. And Claire there, flash bang wallop. Ooh, what a picture.